All right. Good morning, everyone. My name is Amanda Jacobson, and I'm a field scientist and field station leader with Dow AgroSciences, and I'm happy to be presented with the opportunity this morning to give you an update on WideStrike and WideStrike 3 performance in 2014. So starting out with WideStrike, WideStrike is a dual-gene BT technology that contains Cry1AC and Cry1F. It's commercially available in several phytogen varieties and has been since 2005, and it provides us with a broad-spectrum lepidopteran management program. For example, WideStrike actually provides protection against the heliocyne complex and also secondary leps. To be specific, for the heliocyne complex, we see complete control with tobacco budworm and very good control with cotton bollworm. Under certain circumstances, such as high populations, we may need to use these supplemental control strategies that we've heard about this morning already. With secondary leps, we see excellent control of fall armyworm and also loopers, specifically soybean looper. And with beet armyworm, this is also going to be very similar to those bollworm populations where we might need supplemental applications under moderate to high infestations. Moving on to WideStrike 3. WideStrike 3 is our three-gene BT technology containing Cry1AC, Cry1F, and VIP3A. This was developed to improve trait durability, so three traits or three genes is better than two is better than one. We also are trying to improve efficacy and also resistance management. WideStrike 3 was registered in May of 2013 and has been commercially available since 2014. It was offered in new elite phytogen varieties throughout the Cotton Belt in 2014, and this resulted in higher yields and also improved lint productivity and also quality. I'd like to use this sliding scale to point out the level of insect protection that we see with WideStrike 3. We have, So we have excellent activity to no activity. Our excellent activity actually encompasses a majority of the lepidopteran pests, and we see no activity on beneficials. A couple things that I'd like to point out in this slide are the black cutworm. Black cutworm kind of falls in the middle. We're seeing very good control with black cutworm, but all insects need to feed in order to ingest these BT toxins. So they may end up cutting some plants before the BT toxins actually kill the insect. With cotton bollworm, we're seeing control that's equivalent to Bollguard 3. We see less terminal damage when comparing WideStrike 3 to WideStrike, and more consistent control under these high-pressure situations. WideStrike 3 was evaluated in 46 locations from 2011 to 2014 in the following states. From 2011 to 2013, we had 13 high-pressure locations that we looked at, and we're defining high-pressure as our non-BT plots are sustaining at least 20% scar damage and 10% boll damage on more than one sampling date. Our 2014 data, we had 15 trial locations in total. We had about 5,000 bags that were sold and 20,000 acres across the Cotton Belt. But of our 15 trials, about half of those we considered high pressure, and another quarter of those we considered to be moderate pressure locations. All locations were natural infestations, and no insecticide sprays were used to target lepidopteran pests. These were all randomized complete block designs and had four replications, and our treatment entries were WideStrike 3, WideStrike, and also a non-BT entry. Variables measured included heliocyne damage. Based on trap counts at these locations, most of our insects present were bollworm, not budworm. We had 3 to 6 assessment dates per trial, and the assessments focused on plant terminals, squares, flowers, and bolls. And 20 plants were sampled per plot. So of those 20 plants, we looked at terminal of each plant, and then we looked at 2 squares, 2 flowers, and 2 bolls per plant. We also took seed cotton yield. So the data that I'm about to present is going to be in a cross-trial summary from 2011 to 2013, and then I'll show you specifically the 2014 data. We'll look at mean percent damage levels by structure per day, and also yield in pounds per acre. So again, I'm going to be focusing on these high-pressure trials. From 2011 to 2013, we had 13 of those high-pressure trials were efficacy-based, and we were able to get yield data off of 8 of those. And 2014, as I said, we had the 15 trials. So I'm going to take just a second and set up this graph for you, because most of the following graphs will be set up this way. This is looking at percent damage per day. We'll look at terminal damage here, and I'll go all the way up to yield. So this is basically the main thing that will change. Wide strike 3 is going to be in blue, wide strike in yellow, and our non-BT entry in black. And so what we're seeing here, this is the summary across high-pressure trials in 2011 and 13. We're seeing significant differences in terminal damage with wide strike 3 and wide strike compared to our non-BT entries. So we're seeing definite protection here with these traits. So moving on to square damage, same trends. Flower damage, same trends. And ending with bowl damage, the same. So excellent levels of protection here. When we look at our yield protection, we're seeing wide strike 3 outperforming wide strike, which are both better than the non-BT. And we're seeing about 127 to 195 pounds difference over the 8 trials that we looked at here between wide strike 3 and wide strike for a yield boost with wide strike 3. All right, wide strike 3 performance in 2014. As I said, we had 15 trials. 6 of those were considered high pressure, and another 4 or 5 were considered moderate. Bollworm, again, was the primary pest that we looked at. We saw that wide strike provided excellent protection against the heliothine infestations, and wide strike 3 provided control that was equal to or better than wide strike. We did see that damage means were lower and more consistent when we're looking at wide strike 3 compared to wide strike. And as David talked about in his last presentation, wide strike 3 did sustain damage, and that was in populations that would have been over a treatment threshold. All right. 2014, this is all trials put together, and this graph is a box plot showing us season total percent control of damaged fruit. So this is taking all of our fruiting bodies, including squares, flowers, and bowls, putting them all together to see what kind of percent control we had with wide strike 3 and wide strike. So as expected, we don't have any control with our non-BT entries. We're seeing about 85% control in our wide strike, and about 85% in wide strike 3 and 69% in our wide strike entries. So good levels of control. Looking at yield, our 2011 to 2013 data was about 200 pounds difference. 2014, we're seeing about a 300 pound difference in yield between wide strike and wide strike 3. So my next few slides, I'd like to go into detail on some of these high-pressure locations. We saw excellent pressure in 2014, which is a great test for these products. This is a trial by Gus Lorenz in Arkansas, and we're seeing significant protection against fruit when we're looking at wide strike 3 and wide strike compared to our non-BT. And again, damaged fruit is going to include your squares, flowers, and bowls. We have Gus yield data here as well. Again, we're seeing a significant yield protection with wide strike 3. And you've seen this picture. This is kind of a close-up. I think that this is pretty amazing, where you can just stand out in the field and see a significant difference. It's easy to pick out the checks, and even here it's easy to pick out your wide strike entries versus wide strike 3. Moving on to another location, that was Jeff Gore's site at Mississippi State. We're seeing a little bit less pressure in Jeff's trial, but we still see protection with wide strike 3. And those numbers really turn out when we start looking at the yield protection. So again, significant yield protection with White Strike 3 and White Strike over non-BT. And again, here's a picture from Jeff's trial. It's really easy to pick out the non-BT entries here. So this was something that continued across the board at most of our locations. And I'll end by showing you my trial that was in Greenville, Mississippi. This is total damaged fruit, again, protection with White Strike and White Strike 3. Yield protection that's highly significant compared to our non-BT. Again, about a 300-pound difference when we're looking at White Strike versus White Strike 3. And this is a picture of my trial. This is reps 2, 3, and 4 since rep 1 was cut off. But it's easy to stand in the back of a truck. I mean, I don't even need a drone to see it. You get out there and you can easily pick out your untreated plots. So 2014 was a great year for testing these products. We saw that White Strike 3 cotton is demonstrating improved efficacy when compared to White Strike. This again was through a robust testing program from 2011 to 2014. Specifically looking at the heliothane complex, we see more consistent control and less damage when we're looking at White Strike 3 and White Strike 3 cotton further protected yield. Again, it was about 200-pound boost that we saw in our first 3 years of data and about 300 pounds that we saw in 2014. So to conclude today, again, White Strike 3 was developed to increase trait durability. The different modes of action that are being used with this technology are increasing the durability of the existing proteins. It has the same refuge strategy as White Strike, and under heavy bollworm pressure, we're seeing increased efficacy with White Strike 3. And just as a reminder, as with all BT technology, it's going to be necessary to get out there and scout. Scout it as needed to protect that technology. So again, get out there, look at fields. If we're at treatment threshold, that's definitely something that we need to take into consideration. So with that, I would be happy to take any questions. All right, well, thank you very much.